Welcome to Grand Heron International's Let's Rumble, Let's Ramble, our monthly live broadcast where two of our professional coaches select a relevant and thought-provoking topic to rumble over. And of course, we broadcast that live on LinkedIn, YouTube, and Facebook. But if you're listening to this episode, it's because it's been converted into an audio podcast for your listening pleasure. We hope that you will enjoy today's topic.
Good afternoon, Gabriella.
Good afternoon, and hello, hello, everybody.
Hey there, everybody. Stefano DeLolo here. You are listening to Grand Heron International's Let's Rumble, Let's Ramble. These are recorded and broadcast live on December 15th. But of course, you could listen to our audio versions. And this actually happens to be our fifth episode. And it also happens to be our season finale for this year, of course, and this year alone. We've got more coming up. And what we're going to be talking about today is the workplace engagement crisis. And I am joined by my colleague, Gabriella Nitu. And of course, we are both professional coaches. And this is a topic that we have been speaking about for quite some time, Gabriella and I. We're excited, quite honestly, to open up that conversation here for all of you. So why don't we begin and jump right in? Now, I think before we actually start going back and forth here and maybe hearing from some of you all out there, I think we need to specify that when we're talking about the workplace engagement crisis, we're not necessarily only referring to the pandemic or the last 2.5 years. The truth is, it's important to note that what we're referring to as a crisis, because of course, if we look at statistics and research, I think it's worthy of being labeled a crisis. This actually dates back to before the pandemic. And certainly the pandemic may have had an impact. Working from home may have had an impact. The hybrid environment may have had an impact. And those could be great scapegoats to kind of explain what's going on. But the truth is, if we look at statistics and research, there are many studies that you can compare out there. In this case, I want to put some context into this before we get started. If we look at ADP, the Research Institute, they actually showed that before the pandemic, so we're talking 2019-2018, 18% of people, respondents, of course, of those studies, were fully engaged at work, 18%, which means, of course, 82% not so engaged. And if we take it one step further, 17% of people felt before the pandemic that they were highly resilient at work, that they had this ability to bounce back in the face of challenges and obstacles. 14% trusted their senior leaders and team leaders. And if we actually take it one step further and look at the studies done from the Centers for Disease and Disease Control, they reported that in 2018, 71% of adults were experiencing at least one symptom of workplace stress. And of course, that could be anything from a headache to feeling overwhelmed or anxious. So now when we look at the statistics and the pandemic, really those percentages just seem to have dropped a bit. If 18% of people were fully engaged before the pandemic at work, well, now maybe we're talking about 17% or 16%. The impact isn't as drastic as maybe we may think. And so now I want to start to actually hear from Gabriella, because we already started reading some of your comments. And of course, we announced what the topic was. People wrote in and said, hey, I love this topic. Please help me engage my team. And how do I do that? And I think that's a great question. But then Gabriella, I think, took a step back and brought a more interesting question to the table. So I want to throw this in your court, Gabriella. Gabriella, what is this more interesting question maybe that we should start with before getting into the problem solving and solution finding? What are your thoughts here, Gabriella?
Real coach, are you? So yes, Stefano and I, as he was saying, we've been talking about this for a while, and we've looked at stats before the pandemic, we looked at stats after the pandemic, and then as people were starting to ask us, or when we hear from leaders question, how do I engage my team, I stopped and I said, okay, how do we really define engagement? How does every organization define? There's no definition that is universally accepted out there. So that's how Stefano and I said, that's an excellent question. And we would love to hear from people. And if you don't mind, Stefano, I'm going to stop just to throw the question out there. Nobody has to feel pressured to answer, but if you do, it would be our pleasure. How do you really define employee engagement in your organization? We'll give it a minute or two, and then we'll pick it up.
Yeah, certainly. It's a great question, because even when I read the results from a study, and it says 17% or 18% of people were fully engaged, I question, okay, well, what about the rest? Does that mean they were completely disengaged, or are there in-betweens, right? What does fully engaged mean versus maybe somewhat engaged or partially engaged? These are the kinds of questions that go through my mind. And I guess that's only natural when we look at studies. Those usually stir up more questions in our minds. So I love that you just asked everybody. Certainly there's a little bit of a delay maybe in seeing your responses, but we will check in and see what you
are
all
sharing. We will
check
and we will stop. As you were talking about stats, Stefano, one came to mind, because also I saw a Gallup's survey that was done in 2017. So that's like 5 years ago and 3 years before the pandemic. And they were showing that overall it's really the reverse of what you just said, which really shows the same numbers. It's 87% of people worldwide and 70% in US. They were showing either that they're disconnected from work or disengaged. And this is how we came up with the question, but what exactly does it mean to be disengaged? Because to Stefano's point, it's impossible that people show up to work and say, hey, today I'm not going to be engaged. I really don't want. I'm just going to go to work to have a place to go. And yes, I know it sounds a little bit as a joke, but joke aside, we as coaches, and Stefano and I have been talking for a long time about it, we do believe that people go out every day with their best intentions at heart. They want to do the best that they can. So I'll stop for a second, Stefano, if we have anything. If not,
I'm not seeing anything coming in just yet. So okay. maybe people want to hear what we have to say. Now, of course, I think, Gabriella, it's fair to say that in the last 2.5 years, we've probably heard our clients speaking about this, their observations of a lack of engagement, maybe more now than ever before. And so certainly, you know, we've heard terms like the Great Resignation. We've heard terms like quiet quitting, which we might touch upon later. And it leads us to wonder, are these all related? And of course, it's just an interesting thing for us to look at. And since we kind of started off with some statistics and some studies, and while we're maybe waiting to see if anybody else wants to add what their perspective is on what fully engaged really means, I want to share another piece of information. I think this could be interesting. It certainly was a little bit of an eye-opener for me. The ADP Research Institute, once again, did a recent worldwide 50,000-person study. And they were trying to discover and see if they can reveal what were the most powerful predictors of things like retention, employee retention, performance, engagement, resilience. And I think it even ventured off into inclusion. All very, very, very big, powerful topics. And what's interesting, what we would sometimes think is going to turn up as the powerful predictors are things probably like, salary and bonuses, whether you like your colleagues, work location, the organization's mission, their purpose, and how invested you are in it. And according to the study, of course, it's shocking that those weren't actually on the list of the most powerful. That doesn't mean they didn't play a role, but the most powerful elements, and I find this interesting because the study kind of revealed them as questions, and we're coaches, so we love questions. The three aspects that determined, you know, things like how engaged people are the following three questions. And Gabby, I'm going to be absolutely interested in hearing what you think of this, and maybe we'll get a reaction from people. These are the three questions. Was I excited to go to work every day last week? did I have a chance to use my strengths every day? And at work, did I get a chance to do something that I'm really good at or that I love? And now I'm actually getting a comment that came up, actually, which is probably something really that I think I want to share here. Someone actually, let me show this comment here. Someone added flexibility. And now I'm not sure if that's one of the predictors here that they're adding or maybe their version of how they see engagement. But I think they might be referring to some of the predictors here. So I love that someone shared that. And so, Gabriella, what are your thoughts there when you hear those being the three questions that really popped out for people? What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts. I'm not going to answer the first one about the excitement or am I excited to go to work, because we're going to need a session in itself just to answer that question. Yeah. Okay. But for sure, people do want to go to work and really, as we were talking, do their best. And it's funny, I didn't even know, Stefano didn't share with me this research. He said, you would be surprised during our talk. So what I think about it is that people need to make a difference. They need to use their strengths. They need to really show that the work that they do has an impact. And I think this is where it does come as no surprise that these questions were predictors.
If you
allow me, before we go back, or I'll let you finish and then I'll.
We just got an additional comment here. I think it's perfect. Really what we're speaking about right now. It's from an anonymous YouTube viewer. And they just added more of a comment, I guess, than a question. The thought of asking my direct reports if they love their work frightens me, which I find kind of interesting, actually. And
it's interesting, but not surprising, because we do hear that from leaders a lot. Yes, it could be. That's why I even said I'm not going to get into that question about, do you feel excited to go to work? But again, as Stefano said, we're coaches. We like questions. Sometimes answers are easy to be found if you ask the right question. And then how do you define, I'm going back with, how do you define being excited to go to work? And going back to the question or the comment that was there, is it frightening? Absolutely, if they love their work. But then let me turn the tables a little bit and say, how do we find out what they actually love about their work? Yeah. And how do we communicate? And when I say communicate, we had such a chat, Stefano and I, about communication. What do we refer when we talk? It's broadly used in so many discussions. But when I say communication, is really a very honest conversation between me and my employee, and trying to find out exactly what is it that they want to do? What is it that they love? How would they make an impact? And is it frightening? Absolutely. Is it easy at the beginning? Absolutely not. I think consistency is the key. And I'll let Stefano also throw in his point of view. But I think consistency and always open communications with the employees is really the key to just uncover a little bit what's underneath this fright, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. I also think that sometimes our mind takes us into scary places when maybe we don't have to necessarily go there or that deep. And what I mean by that is I also know that I have looked up some research on this. I believe this comes specifically from the health sector, but I know that they did a study where they were investigating, how engaged people were. And the number that really came up or the percentage that came up that we need to consider as the threshold number that could be very useful was actually 20%. And what I mean by 20% is that if a person is doing less than 20% of the work that they truly love, that they feel that it's giving them that opportunity to use their strengths, then that's actually what we're talking about. That's when we are more likely to experience, physical and psychological, maybe more things that turn towards burnout, because we're feeling So lost in terms of we're not really getting to do that, that ignites us. And when you see it that way, I mean, of course, Gabriella, we know that even in the work that we do, that I think we absolutely love, I mean, it's certainly we inject our passion into it. There are elements of the work that, of course, we can't possibly love every little detail. And so it's a question of balance. But here, the balance is quite interesting. 20% of things that you actually love and feel you're using your strength is not an enormous amount, really, when you look at the big picture. And I think what that research shows us, at least in this health sector, there might be other research that says differently, it indicates that, I guess, when people are energized, at least by a portion of the work that they're doing, then they're probably going to be happier at work. They're probably going to be performing better. They're probably going to be more resilient and all of those other wonderful things. So certainly it could be frightening to imagine asking that question. But to your point, Gabriella, I thought it was excellent what you just said. It just leads me to curiosity. Well, how do I know how much of what my team is doing is truly igniting them? And do I know what those elements are specifically? And if I don't, how could I find out? And they may not be the easiest conversations to have. They may not come naturally to us. But to your point, Gabriella, I think it's excellent to think that, well, maybe this is where we need to stretch and say, well, how could I find out? Or what do I need to be holding as a conversation with people to just understand who they are? Because remember, they're people first. And we want to know, well, what gets you ignited, even if it's one aspect of your work? I'm curious. I want to know more. I'm noticing a comment here. Let's
perfect.
And it's one of our fellow coaches, of course. Maryse has said connection and appreciation, to be seen and to feel that what they do matters. That's a really, really powerful point. Yeah. What are your thoughts there?
Exactly. So that's exactly going back to my point about making an impact. And and everybody wants to make to do a work that really has meaning. And you actually made a comment a little bit before about the great resignation and the quiet quitting. And we said we weren't sure exactly how much time we would have or how much time do we even want to get into this, because it's a big subject. It requires a lot of time. It's also a very touchy subject for different reasons. Yeah. And again, with the way we ask questions, like what exactly is quiet quitting and everything, we're not, as I said, we're not going to go into it. But what I am going to share with you is a discussion Stefano and I had when we were talking about quiet quitting. And one point came about is generation gap. And we do hear that all the time, and I am going to mention it. Younger generations are like this and like this and like this, and they are the ones that maybe have more of a say in how they want it. I have to say, when we were talking about it, I find it absolutely normal. We're not going to talk about the generations. I don't think there's a difference in the way we look at how generations impact or how the engagement is, because to Stefano's point, it's really people that we're looking at, employees. But what I would like you to maybe consider is that the younger generation is more savvy. They're knowledgeable. They really are born in an era where they get to see a lot of things. They do know. So they question a lot more the options. So we're going back to what we were saying about how do we actually find out what they want. Yeah. Labeling people at any age is not what's none of us really likes. But then it goes back to that honest conversation about what exactly do you want and how do you want it and why do you come up with this request? Where is it coming from?
Yeah, I love that. I love that point, because you're absolutely right. We certainly don't want blanket statements about generations as a whole. Labels usually don't serve anybody, you know? So if you're going to create a judgment on somebody, it's probably going to work against you. I think it has to go back to curiosity. Mm-hmm. And one thing, Gabriella, that you and I spoke about was this idea that I read about. I believe it comes from the book called Love and Work. The author, and we're going to have this in the show notes, of course. The author is Marcus Buckingham. He's an author. He's also a researcher, I believe. And so in the book, he talks about this thing that I just thought was fascinating here, because I think as coaches, we do this, but it's nice to have a term applied to it. We're very used to in the workplace, we're used to highlighting red flags, things that are going wrong, things that are problems for us. What's interesting is that the term that Marcus Buckingham uses is red threads. And this is maybe not his term. This has maybe been a term that's been around for a while. And I'm always curious now about red threads. And I love that I can attach that name to it. And what a red thread, for those of you who may never have heard that before, is a red thread is really understanding who you are, what truly about your work do you feel brings you joy? What is it? When are you your best at? What is kind of lighting you up? And red threads can also, by the way, they don't always have to include all of the wonderful things. I mean, you're allowed to also share as part of a red thread things like, well, actually, and this is when I feel a little bit like a deer caught in headlights, or when I'm a little shaky, or when I need a little bit of support from people. And on the flip side of that, of course, a red thread can also be, this is what I can be very much relied on from my team. Like, this is where I can support the team as well. And so this sharing really gives us knowledge. It gives us information. Oh, is that what's igniting you about your work? And I think that's a great start, especially even if we're talking about dealing with a generation that we may feel uncomfortable with. Okay, well, now I'm curious. I want to know what is getting you. And maybe that's how we start to get less frightened about asking about what's exciting them every day. You know, what are your thoughts on when you hear about this idea, this concept of red threads, Gabriella?
Oh, look, we talked so much about it, and I, full disclosure, I had not read this when Stefano shared it with me, and it did give me pause to think about it, because how do we really think about the curiosity, as Stefano said, in terms of how do we transport it into the workplace and make it I'm not curious because I want to be nosy, but curious from a good place. And curiosity actually goes hand in hand with listening. And when I say listening, and I'm probably going to say something that a lot of you have heard before, we usually listen to respond. What we're talking as coaches is really listening to what the other person has to say, truly has to say. And this is what the curiosity that's really weaved into those red threads is about to me, being curious and really truly listening to what the other person has to say.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think an important element, and I know I read about this somewhere else as well, of course, there's two facets. If you're watching or listening here, you may be hearing us and saying, okay, well, the engagement issue is something I need to consider about myself. Mm-hmm. And so you might want to consider what your red threads are. And on the flip side, for those of you who are either leading or managing teams, there's this question of scaling up this to the next level and saying, how can I really check in here with my team and maybe make this a thing here where I'm learning more and I'm being curious a little bit more than I have been. And so I really think, and Gabriella, you had mentioned this as well. I mean, the idea of check-ins. I know we have a lot of meetings. I know that we've got a lot going on, especially in a virtual world. But the question is, how many times are we checking in with people to actually have that conversation, to maybe build that trust? To Gabriella's point, if you jump right into red threads, someone might be like, what in the world is going on? We've never had this sort of a conversation before. And so I'm not sure if you're showing up as an ally or as an adversary. I'm not sure what to think about this. So I love that you highlighted that, because, of course, you have to start somewhere. And so maybe those conversations to get at least the person to begin shifting their thinking into what is it about their work that they're really enjoying. has to start happening maybe more often than a yearly evaluation or performance evaluation. Gabriella, you had also mentioned to me at the time when we discussed this, the importance of consistency. So what would consistency mean for people?
Consistency, what would consistency mean? And that's a great question, because we do get that from leaders a lot, in the sense that, is that once a week, every second week, once a month, every quarter? We don't have a definition, and I hope we don't really have a definition. We actually did find research that says, if I'm not mistaken, Stefano, correct me if I'm wrong, it says every 11 days. And we were actually talking, probably that's where the bi-weekly meetings kind of stemmed from. But in a world where it's so fast-paced, where meetings are booked back-to-back sometimes, we're doing our best to have those bi-weekly cyclical meetings. Is it realistic? So what exactly does it mean consistent to you and your team? And we're going back, if you realize, in circles back to the same question, how do you define it for you and your team? I think this is really the most important part, is really find out, discover what is it that is special about your team, what works for your team, what exactly is it that that consistency means, and what's the right consistency in terms of period. And I know we're coming to very close to our end. I just wanted to piggyback a little bit on a comment that somebody said prior, made prior, about flexibility. And it made me think of something when you were talking about in a virtual world and in a hybrid world. I'm just going to mention something, because we talk a lot, and it has or it hasn't a huge impact on the engagement, but the hybrid work, okay? I was reading Glint's research survey done this year in March 2022, and they were looking at the happiness that people have, and they were talking that hybrid is really a reason for people to be happy. It was worldwide, if I'm not mistaken, in between 60 and 70% people are happy. And it's not because they're working hybrid. It's really the flexibility. That's my segue in that flexibility. But on the other side, and this is for leaders maybe to consider, it seems in the same report, it seems that it's harder to engage people in hybrid mode than in person and fully remote. And why is that? It is for teams to discover. So I wanted to share that with everybody before we see if there are any questions, just as a food for thought. If ever you get into the curiosity stage, maybe it's a question that you would want to ask.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And of course, the question becomes, I guess it's always back to curiosity. I'm always interested in knowing, and Gabrielle, I've already shared you one of my favorite coaching questions that I think anybody could use, really. And what would you like to see 10% more of? What would you like to see 10% less of? To me, is quite interesting, because it breaks things down in a way that's a little bit easier to wrap your mind around. And it's a great question to ask people, like, hey, listen, whether it's in the hybrid version or not, when it comes to your work, what would you like to see 10% more of? What would you like to see 10% less of? Of course, they're going to reveal what's working for them and they want more of, and what maybe they feel is working against them. And of course, 10% less of doesn't mean we're eliminating something. It just means what would work for you if we, and it's, this is just really meant as a catalyst for conversation so that you can have that back and forth. And I am going to share just one last comment here, because I don't want to leave this one hanging. We've got a few coming in a little bit at the end here, but we're probably going to have ourselves another conversation, Gabriella, for one of these rumbles here. But here it is. I'm going to see if I can share it quickly. It's from an anonymous user as well. And it says, so I get all this. I truly believe in it. Where's a good place for me to start with my team? I've never done any of this with them.
Okay.
So where is the place to start, Gabriella?
I would say just be really straightforward and honest. We're going to book a meeting, or we're going to take time from our one-on-ones just to talk, to see how we're doing, what's happening, what do you need? Is it really something that you need in particular? What do you like? What do you want to see an impact of? And for sure, at the beginning, they might seem a little bit forced. At the beginning, people might be, okay, what's with my manager? Like, what's happening? But then with the consistency, everything is going to really seem natural. And actually, I'm going to go to something Stefano said. It's the first place to start is taking action. And action doesn't mean huge thing. It's really little steps. And if it's just to make them aware that these meetings are going to happen, perfect. When? You're going to decide. What's the structure? You're going to decide. But let's start somewhere with little steps.
Yeah, I love that. And I would even say you could certainly start with very simple red thread, what they sometimes call notes, and ask two simple questions. Hey, I'm just really curious and understanding. Would you love to like maybe share something with me? I'm really looking to see your perspective here. I'd love to know, if you could complete this. I love it when, or I'm at my best when.
When.
That starts the conversation. It's like, wow, the person may share. Now, of course, to Gabby's point from earlier, we need to kind of give them some context as to why suddenly we're asking this question. And of course, if we say, I'm gonna give you a red thread note here to complete, you're going to have people saying, I'm really uncertain about what's happening right now. But if you approach it, and maybe this is where the stretch is, let's reflect as to how we could do this. You might just be really honest with your team and say, hey, this is what I'm curious to know more about. Maybe it's a group thing. It doesn't maybe have to be the one-on-one just yet. But I think if we're going to start asking ourselves questions, I think that's a really great starting point, especially if it leads to some form of action. And of course, as coaches, we love when something leads to actually an action step. So maybe the question is, what will you do? Now that we've had this discussion, what can you do to be a little bit more curious? So with that said, off to you, Gabriella.
Okay, so we're a little bit over. Thank you, everyone, for being here and for your thoughtful questions and comments. And Stefano, this was interesting and engaging. And of course, so much fun as always. We can talk for hours and hours. Please visit us at grandheritinternational.com, where you can find the episode as well as all previous ones for download at no cost to you. I can't speak anymore. So with special thanks to our GHI colleagues who work tirelessly at making this show possible, this is Gabriella Nitu, and you have been listening to Let's Rumble, brought to you by Grand Heron International.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.